Death is one of those topics considered taboo in polite company. But recently, a group of strangers gave up a sunny afternoon to meet in a Seattle coffee shop to talk about it. KUOW's Ruby DeLuna dropped in.
I'm Sandra.
Hi, Sandra.
Okay. You got room for me?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The six people at this meetup come from different walks of life and age groups. Some work in healthcare, some are simply curious. During introductions, organizer Paige Lewis talked about her reason for starting the monthly get-together.
I wanted what I wasn't able to have with any other people, and with an openness and a welcoming of this topic.
The people at this meeting share that desire, but each person has different motivations. Jeanette Kisawetter is 74 years old. She told the group she's been interested in death and dying for a long time. She says she doesn't want to be terrified when her time comes. She does volunteer hospice care for people close to dying in their homes. She says that's where she has had the most honest and intimate discussions.
I think at that point, the barriers are down,
mm-hmm.
and they're speaking their own truths.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an honor to be included in that.
Kisawetter says she's not looking for anything in particular from these conversations. She likes being with people who are not afraid to talk about death. Sherry Everett has seen death firsthand, but there were limitations to that experience.
My husband died of Lou Gehrig's disease, and he couldn't speak and tell me about his death experience as he was paralyzed. His muscles to make your speech wouldn't work, and so I guess that arouses my curiosity, and I always wonder how his death experience was.
To get the discussion going, Lewis plays a video clip that raises the question, how do you want to live your life?
If you only had half of it, what would you do differently? What about half of that? How much time have you already spent worrying instead of doing something that you love? What if you just had one more day?
Marlene Gray has been grappling with these questions ever since she first thought about death at age 17. She's 32 now and starting a family with her husband. She wonders out loud how to find that balance, acknowledging life's impermanence while enjoying life's moments, big and small.
It's like those little things like, you know, we built this together and we have this and we're in it right now. And I don't know if tomorrow will still be here. But I don't know if that's a way to kind of live with it or
taking nothing for granted.
It almost makes it sad to be so conscious of it.
Yes.
You know?
Death and dying may not be your typical daily conversation topic, yet there seems to be a growing desire for these types of forums. To date, there are more than 40 death cafes in the U.S. The movement has gone global, too. A British web designer held the first death cafe in 2011. He wanted to encourage discussions about death, so he produced a website that offers a guide for hosting them. In Washington State, there are 3 death cafes so far. Back in Seattle, there's so much to talk about, the emotional, the psychological, the spiritual. There were personal stories, observations, memories. The participants shared their hopes and the things they want to do before they die. Such discussions can get heavy, but there were light moments, too.
I saw this Facebook thing that said, when I die, I want to jump out of a plane wearing a Superman costume. Mm. And I'm like, yeah, that feels really good.
I'd like to go off the Mid-Hudson Bridge naked with a jazz band playing and my body decked in flowers.
But now we know who to look for.
Yeah, but I'm not going to be able to make that happen.
Yeah.
Midway through, the group pauses for some tea and cake. Paige Lewis, the organizer, says she hopes that someday death won't be something to be feared but respected. Conversations about death might seem hard to navigate, but the paradox is that talking about it could better guide us on how we want to live. I'm Ruby DeLuna, KUOW News.